want to continue this morning. We're going to call it More on the Works of the Devil. And I want to say that I recognize that this is not a popular subject, but it's a necessary topic. And that each one of us need to be reminded as we see the day approaching. And I believe we're seeing the day approach. We feel that time is drawing nigh. I need your prayers this morning. The Lord will help me with my thoughts. I had this one thought as I was sitting there, and my question was, what if there was only one master in this world from the beginning? That it was only God. What if the devil was never a part of this world? Can you imagine? What kind of messages would we be hearing? Would we be hearing any kind of messages to warn us or to awaken us? We would be only hearing precious words, wouldn't we? But that's not the case. There are two masters. And we have to choose. And we have to be told about the one that we reject because he's relentless. He does not give up on you or me. He will not give up easily. He has a plan for you. Remember last Sunday we talked about a file. Each one of us has a file with our name on it. And how that the enemy knows what will not work. Yes. And so he gives up on those plans. But he knows my weaknesses. And he knows that which might work. So as we were meditating and thinking and praying, I want to tell you we've really prayed for the Lord to help us today. I am not capable of standing before you. I have no sufficiency of myself. My sufficiency is only of God. But I was thinking of how that last Sunday we were sort of presenting it like a training class for warfare. But this morning, we're wanting to give something that will justify what we're doing. The type of messages that God seems to ordain. And as we look into the Word of God, we are told what He wants to give His people. That He sends the Word for instruction. He sends the Word for correction and for reproof. And He sends doctrinal messages. Those are messages. Have you only heard them once? God does not intend for us to hear something one time and leaves it with us. He doesn't. The scripture says that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save you and me. He seldom uses it one time. Why? He wants to get mileage out of his word. He wants it to be a line upon line and precept upon precept, and he wants it to be here a little and there a little and this kind of a message is going to be repeated over and over. Repetition is very important. Did you know it? And it's the only way that actually we all have learned from even a child was repetition. It was the very base of our learning. We didn't say one thing to our children one time and hope they retained it for 50 years. But we told it to them over and over. And so, as we think about even our educational system, repetition is what is conducive to knowledge and learning. And it is to us spiritually. We mustn't get tired of hearing maybe something very similar. We try to, I would say it this way, that every minister may have the same kind of message, but it's said in just a little different way. But it should grab our attention. It should be able to speak to us, and it should minister to us no matter how many times that we have heard these kind of messages. If we are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, we will open our mouth and he will fill it. Thank the Lord. So I'm thinking also of what the Lord uses. It says that he stirs up our pure minds to remember. And again, in this age, and our minds are so full, and the scripture plainly tells us that knowledge will increase in the last days. And so we have our minds so full of different knowledge, and yet we need this knowledge. We need this knowledge. So stirring up our pure minds by way of remembering something. And then the word of the Lord also says for me to study. In addition to having my mind stirred up in this way, I have a responsibility to study, to reveal to me what God wants me to remember. And then the other scripture that came to my mind is, thy word hath I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Yes. It's so important that you leave here and wherever you have heard what God has ordained, it's up to us to try to retain it. Yes. Hide it in your heart and let it be there when you need it, and it will come to the surface and it will minister to us. So both of the studying and the retaining it in my heart and being stirred up, it's all because it's been repeated to us. It's a result of repeatedly hearing it and repeatedly reading it, and we have repeatedly practiced it. We put it into practice. So repetition is very important, and I hope that you won't be tired of it. Thinking of what it does to develop us, and we tried to mention some of these things last Sunday, but it develops a strong spiritual conviction. It establishes our conviction, or what we believe is in the Word of God. And by the way, as I spoke about that, if we only had one master and there was nothing to do with the enemy, how much is in this word about our enemy? A vast majority of what God has in his word is to make us aware of the opposer that is trying to destroy me from making heaven. There's just not just two master seed, there's two places to go in eternity. And they coincide with the masters. So we also want to have strong spiritual weapons of warfare. We want to know how to use them. There is a Psalm of David, 144:1, and it says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth." Don't you know we need teaching all along the way? It doesn't matter how old we get. We still need to be taught. But this is what it says. "Teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." And the word fight here is to battle. So you could say it that way. You could say, "Teach my hands to war and my fingers for battle." Because you're going to face a battle. It's not over. It's still going to... You and I are still going to meet the battles until it's over. There's another scripture that speaks about teaching my hands to war. It's 2 Samuel 22:35. And the reference on it says, "Teacheth my hands for the war." Don't stick your head in the sand and say, I'm going to ignore it. It won't go away. You must face it. And you need to be taught. I need to be taught how to fight the battles. I'm thinking about our fingers, what's referred to in these, my fingers and my hands. What do we do with our fingers and our hands in a literal war? They're used to discharge the weapon. Aren't they? I mean, I presume they, if they were in a fighter jet, they had to use their hand or their fingers to press the release button of bombs or whatever weapon that they were releasing. So that's why the Lord has said, "I want you to teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight for the battle." So our hands have something to do, maybe not in, certainly not in a literal discharge of a weapon, but He wants us to be skilled. It's very important to God. He's very interested, and I'm going to say it again, God is very interested in the development, you and me developing understanding and knowledge of the weapons of warfare that He has. If we are ignorant of that, if we are ignorant of Satan's devices, then how can we fight? I believe that He is wanting us to be current. We're not to compare ourselves to 50 years ago and the kinds of battles that they fought. We are fighting up-to-date battles because Satan knows his time is short. We gave you that last week. He hath but a short time. And he is striving harder than ever. Now, we're going to speak about a couple of contrasting sides of Satan this morning. The scripture tells us it says that Satan trembles. Do you believe Satan trembles? It says that if you believe there is one God, that's good, it says. But it says that the devils believe also. And they tremble. Do you feel like that your enemy is a weak enemy and trembles? There's two sides of Satan. He knows what's waiting for him at the end of all of this. He knows what the Word of God says. He quotes the Word of God. We even said last week that he will present himself as even an angel of light. He has the capability of doing anything that will deceive you or me. And at the same time, though he trembles, he's also, you know, I feel like I almost lose the ability to express what he really is. I think that that's one of his hindering causes or tactics, is to cloud our mind that we're not able to fully identify him to the extent of his purposes. We quote the scriptures, we say he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. We ought to let that have an effect on us. And yet, in this age, in this time, he's going above and beyond anything of the past. And he doesn't want us to be prepared for his tactics, for his schemes. That was in the little song this morning of putting on the whole armor of God. He has a scheme. He's sly. It's the wiles of the devil simply means that he is slippery. He's sly. And he's wise. Do you think the devil is wise? He's wise to you. About you. Not to you, but about you. He knows your thoughts just like God knows your thoughts. He knows your temptation just like God knows your temptation. He is a powerful being, but he is a defeated foe. And he will be cast into the lake at the end of all of this. And he knows that. So there is a little statement that came to my mind, and I hope I can quote it correctly. It was maybe written by, his last name was Cooper, but he said something to the effect that the devil trembles when the weakest saint is on their knees. Something to that effect. Have you ever heard that? God wants our weapons to be so powerful, and prayer is a weapon of warfare and one of our major, if not the major, weapon that he wants us to learn how to use and not be afraid. Don't be afraid of the devil. He may try to cause you to be fearful. That's one of his tactics also. He doesn't want us to have confidence that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's in you? If God is in us, he wants to give us power over the devil. You know, this thought also came to my mind this morning, that our eternal destiny may rest on how well we learn to fight. Does that get your attention? Where you end up in eternity may well determine how well you learn to fight against the powers of darkness, against the powers of hell. We have confidence because the Word says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, and we are the church. But if we have confidence that the gates of hell will not prevail, then we can have confidence the gates of hell will not prevail against me. Though at times I may feel. Remember, we have feelings. We're human. We have emotions. All of these things affect us that the enemy wants to use. And having feelings is a big one. But if we will always, another scripture comes to my mind, that we will have perfect peace if what? Our mind is stayed upon God or on thee. There's a battle and a war that is going on, and we know the battlefield is in the mind. So it does depend. My future depends on how well I do learn to battle and to war. This morning I want to connect one New Testament scripture with an Old Testament scripture. Never really thought of this before, and it's Matthew 11 and 12 and Isaiah 9 and 5. But I think these two scriptures fit together, and I think they give us a picture of where we are in this warfare. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. You know, you don't think of God being a violent God, but if you get a hold of God, you're going to have some violence with your flesh. And it goes on and it says, the violent take it by force. That's you and me. You hope to make heaven? You want to see inside heaven? You're not going to be on a flowery bed of ease, and you're not going to go skating in, and you're not going to just slip by. You're going to have to do something with this man, this person that is your greatest enemy, because this is what the enemy is trying to work with your enemy, yourself. And so the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and it said, the violent take it by force. And then I'm skipping to Isaiah 9 and 5, and it says, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. What does that mean? Well, I can tell you what I think it means. There's been many, 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 many who started out and their garments got rolled in blood. Their lives were taken. We've got to take this seriously, that I haven't made it to heaven yet. Amen. I've still got to fight. I've still got to be violent with myself. And when it says that every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, believe it. Confusion is of the devil. And when we're in the midst of the battle, sometimes, you remember, he was like a roaring lion. Well, it didn't say he was a roaring lion, but what he does sounds like a roar that you can't tell where it's coming from. And every battle that you and I fight, the enemy wants to confuse our minds that we hardly know how to fight. We may have to go before the Lord and say, Lord, teach me how to fight this battle. I don't know what to do. We can be so confused, and that is of the devil. I'm thinking about also our battles are not seen, literally. We come to prayer meeting and we may testify and say, I've been in a battle this week, but you really don't have any physical scars to prove that you have even had a wound. But you've been wounded. You know what it feels like to be wounded. It's the same in the very... I have heard ministers say this, and maybe I've said it myself. If our spiritual eyes were opened right now in this setting, there is a spirit world that is unseen right in our midst. Amen. Do you believe that? Yes. It's not visible to our eyes, but it's very real. And there is war going on in this unseen world, an intense battle between right and wrong, between good and evil. And many times when I pray, and I'm praying against the devil, I will say, Lord, send a host. Now, what is a host? It's a large number. of your warring angels. Does God have warring angels? His angels can fight, do know how to fight, are powerful against the kingdom of Satan and his angels. Does the devil have angels?
Yes, he does.
He does. He has servants, angels that are going out at his bidding and taking the evil of hell to our whole world. Last week we even said something about that he wasn't satisfied with all that he controlled right now. And it's still true. He wants to take every soul farther than they hope to ever go or wish to go. And the song said it, and we gave some of it. Sin will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. It'll keep you longer. It'll cost you more. But he doesn't just work on them and forget about us. He has a special interest in you and me. And he wants us to be a part of his kingdom and to be in a devil's hell at the end. That's what he wants.
Amen.
Don't ever forget it. He does not wish any good for you at all. So, I do want to talk about the saved and the redeemed. It's his main target now. So that's you and me. You know, we can take salvation so lightly. We must not take it as the world does. Because they just simply say, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you will be saved. And it's as though that's all you have to do. I want to tell you, when you get saved, the fight has just begun.
Yes.
You cannot take it lightly. You have to take it as seriously, more seriously. Why? Because for one thing, it's going to cost you everything. Oh, but the song says Jesus paid it all. All salvation is free. Glad joy. You remember those songs? It says it in the Word. But it's offered to you freely. But if you take it, you'll have to fight for it. And it will cost you everything in your life. Every day. It will cost us. So, you know what I realize in my own self is that I must give my whole heart. I must not, I have it written down here. You must be sold out. And that's a repetition. That's a message that we've heard over and over, haven't we? We still need to be sold out. When I get up in the morning, I'm facing a new day. I have never lived before. I do not know what a day will bring forth. The scripture says that. I must be sold out for today. I must be. Lord, help us all. Can't be half-hearted. If we're half-hearted, what will happen? I will tell you what will happen. The devil will take advantage. He will take advantage of your half-hearted decision. But he knows if you and I are sold out, if we mean to win the race, only one is going to win the prize. He knows. So, I've said some of these scriptures already, so I'm going to skip on down. I want to give you, there are many weapons that that the enemy uses against us. Many things to hinder us. There is no way we could ever cover them all. But the Spirit of the Lord can make you wise and understanding and see when it's the enemy that is affecting you. But there is one area we want to talk to you about this morning that is one of his main tactics to affect you and me. Even if he doesn't get us right away, this is one of his main weapons. And did you know he hates prayer? That's why I said there's two sides to the devil, because he might tremble when he sees a saint on their knees, but he still is trying to figure out, how can I hinder their prayer? So we have some ways. You know, last week we talked about things that that affect us, that hurt us, offend us, you know, and those are the things that the enemy will try to use against us, where we will be unforgiving and bitter, and the enemy will take advantage of those places. But do you know his number one tactic is distractions during prayer? Drowsiness, sleepiness, sluggish thoughts. Those are all part of the work of the devil when you get down to pray. Be aware of it. Recognize it. Again, I'm going to encourage us to read the little book, How to Resist the Devil. Such good. It has helped me. And I hope it helps everyone that will read that book. But I'm going to read a paragraph out of that the author says. He says it like this: "You can be sure that prayer will be hindered from all quarters. Who has not gone apart to pray and found his mind go blank, or be flooded with unholy or distracting thoughts? Some, on the other hand, fall asleep while at prayer." I've done that. And if I know the truth of you, you've probably done it too. It's just hard to sometimes pray and not keep focused on prayer. But it goes on and it says, again, it is surprising what a lot of things you remember that you have to do when you decide to pray. There's ways you can handle these things. This is how the enemy will come against you, but there's ways for you to handle it. Let me finish reading this and then I'll tell you some of the things. Have you ever associated these hindrances with the powers of evil? Do you realize that they can interfere with your prayer life? So here's a suggestion. You get down to pray and all of a sudden you're thinking of everything you need to do. I need to write letters. I need to call this person. I need to clean my house. So many things come to your mind and you can't concentrate on prayer. Here's a suggestion. Keep a tablet there. When those things come to your mind, write it down and go on praying. It's going to come back. The enemy will continually try to hinder your prayer. Write it down, go on praying. That is one weapon you can use against a distracted mind in prayer. So that's just a suggestion. But this thing of what he said in the beginning, getting apart to pray and your mind be blank and flooded with unholy and distracting thoughts, that's real. That's real. And probably many of you have experienced that. There is a special way you have to handle that one. And it started with the message last Sunday. It's with the scripture that says, submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil. But the first step is submitting yourself unto God. That's your first weapon to defeat these unholy thoughts or these the blankness of my mind. I don't even know what to pray, or I'm flooded with this distraction or that. You have to stop in prayer and say with your mouth out loud. It's best to do it out loud. This is better to not whisper it or be, I'll say it in my heart. No, you say it with your mouth out loud. I submit myself unto God, and I resist the devil. I withstand the devil. I am not going to be bullied by the devil. And the devil has to flee. And if it doesn't work with one time of saying it, say it again. Say it again until the devil believes you. But I remember, and I've told this probably before, I know I have. I'm going to tell it over and over. If it was a defeat of the enemy, I was down praying, I had been hurt, and I had been wounded, and I was weeping and could not stop, and I could not pray. The words would not come out. That's what will happen. But the Spirit of the Lord, listen to the still small voice. You will know the voice of the Lord, and it won't be anything the devil is trying to say. It will be a weapon of success. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, cover my mind, cover my spirit, cover my emotions. And I knew it came from the Lord. And I said those words, and I could say two or three sentences, and it was back. And I said it again. And I came out of that by using those words that God gave me to defeat what the devil was trying to do. God, listen to the voice of the Lord. He will help you overcome what the enemy is trying to do to destroy your soul. Well, I remember also one time, and I've told this too, and I will tell it to the end of my life. I was working in the school here, and I would get up early in the morning, try to pray, and I was just so tired, I would fall asleep. Then I'd have to hurry and get ready and get off to school. And so one day I said, well, when I'm with Sister Catherine, we pray wherever we go. There's nothing wrong with praying in the car. Nothing wrong. It's good. But that's how Sister Catherine would do. That was one of the things she taught me. I said, well, I'm going to start praying on my way to school. I'm awake then. And I started praying on the way to school. And the Lord blessed me. But it wasn't all he wanted. So we were at prayer meeting one night, and Sister Burdett, she said, she gave a testimony. She had been reading the book of A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalms, and she told in there how that the sheep that the shepherd would take out early in the morning would lick the dew off of the grass as they went out. And oftentimes that was the only liquid or water they would get. They wouldn't find any springs that day until they came back that evening. And you know, I was sitting right over there, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, this is your problem. I was feeling dry again. Oh, the Lord blessed me for a while. But after a while, I started feeling dry. Do you know what it means to feel dry? It's like you're almost half dead. Do you know how that feels? It's from the devil. And I sat there and I saw. The Lord says, I want you to give me your first. And I said, Lord, I will do it. And I made a vow. Lord, I will get up earlier. I will give you my first. The Lord so richly blessed me that I would almost pray too long. I didn't fall asleep anymore. That sleepy spirit was gone. And the Lord blessed me. The Lord wants to bless every one of us to have power over these tactics of the devil when we get down to pray. He has victory. I believe it with all my heart. So, let me speak just a warning a little bit about making a vow. The scripture says it is better not to vow than to make one and break it. And so I'm going to tell you, well, don't do it just because Sister Maxine did it and it worked for her. If God calls for a vow, that's different. But don't do it just because somebody said it. I know some who have made vows trying to force themselves to do right. That's not the right reason. You might say, well, one person I knew, they wanted to lose weight. And so they said, well, they had a sweet tooth, and they said, oh, well, if I vow to never eat sugar again. And they came and talked to me about it, and I discouraged them from taking such a vow because that is something is just almost impossible for you to keep. They were wanting to make a vow that they would never eat sugar again. Don't do that. The devil will take advantage of that. And it won't work, and it will hinder you spiritually. Make vows that God can help you keep. Another one came to me and talked to me about this, and they said, I'm going to vow to get up like, I don't know what time, it was real early in the morning because they had a job. I'm going to vow to do that so that I will do it. It didn't work. The devil took advantage. Your humanity, you're sleepy. You might not get much sleep the night before, and how are you going to keep that? Unless God is calling for the vow, don't make a vow. Okay? That's just a little advice that I want to leave with you. I would like to speak to us a little bit more about being drowsy and sleepy, and please, I'm going to be mentioning things, and I'm not wanting to point a finger at anybody, because I've been there. Did you know the devil loves for you to be sleepy when you come to church? The devil loves for us to be drowsy, sluggish, our minds drifting. Listen, we're all human beings. These are common to man. I heard one time what percent or portion of a message you actually take in or retain. That's normal. I don't want anyone to leave here and the devil take advantage and accuse, because he's an accuser of the brethren. But I would like to, well, I don't want you to think that I'm something, because I'm nothing. But for years, I suffered with sleepiness when I came to church. Fighting it, when the minister was preaching, I would nearly have my eyes crossed, trying to keep my eyes open. I fought it, but I could not overcome it until I saw it was from the devil. And I went before the Lord and I rebuked that spirit of drowsiness and sleepiness, and God delivered me. So I'm only telling you that to encourage you. You can do it too. You can go before the Lord. Recognize where the enemy, when you're drowsy, did you know you miss a lot of things that said you can't remember? I know, I've been there. But God wants us to be awake and alert and listening. And that's not pointing a finger at anybody. Please don't accept it that way. There is a chapter in, or no, it's not, it's just a portion in this little book of How to Resist the Devil. And it's on page 8. And the title of it is The Devil Makes Us Lazy. And I don't agree with the title, but he actually is the author's testimony in his own life. Not about being in church, but the devil can affect us physically. And I would like for you to read it. I'm not going to give it this morning. The sake of time is getting away. But I would like to encourage you to read it and study it. It's not very long. And see if you don't have a vision of how the enemy will affect you, even on your job or in your work at home. So the devil really wants to wear us down and wear us out. And the scripture says that. He wants to wear out the saints of the Most High God. And he wants to affect us in our daily life. He wants to affect us in our spiritual life. He wants to affect us when we come to service. He wants to affect us when we're down praying. So a number of years ago, and I'm giving this as a, I hope that you can get a hold of it and study it and think on it and maybe try to practice it, because I think that it's an effective, well, the Lord gave it to me. It was a number of years ago, and I'm not going to give the whole testimony because time has slipped by, but I had had arthritis in my body for 15 years, and I couldn't do a lot of things because of it. And I was asking the congregation to pray that I would have an inspiration of faith to be healed, and the Lord brought that inspiration of faith, but nothing happened at the moment. And a sister in the congregation asked me to help her clean house, and I couldn't say no. And I said to Lauren, I said, I'll be sick tonight. I could not clean my house in one day. And I went, and I was hurting, and she didn't know. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus and claim the healing power of God. I knew God gave me a weapon. And I went about my housework there. I repeated that over and over in my mind. I went home. I was sick. I fixed our supper. I did not go to bed sick. The next day she did it again. This is only 3 times that Sister Penny ever asked me to help her on houses. And the next day I went again and I did the same thing. I rebuked the devil in the name of Jesus and I claimed the healing power of God. I didn't go home sick. And the third day I did the same thing and the Lord stopped me and spoke to me and he said, anything you get by faith, you must resist the devil. And I was healed. And that's been, how long were you, what year did you get married? 1987. It was in the summer of 1987. And I do not receive, I do not have arthritis. But the Lord taught me something in those words, and I'm going to give it to you today, because you, in your fight against the enemy, in your resisting him, you're going to have to pray against some things. He has spirits he wants to put up on. He has spirits of afflictions. He has spirits of lethargy, spirits of you name it. He's got spirits he wants to put on you and me. When we finally come to the place that we recognize what he's doing, our weapon against him is to start praying against it. And I'm going to give you an example. Now I'm first going to tell you what the Lord gave me in the scripture. You remember the parable, it wasn't a parable. I mean, Jesus was speaking it. He talked about an unclean spirit that went out from a man, and he likened that, his heart, as a room that was empty, swept, and garnished. Remember when Jesus gave that? But it was empty. And the spirit left, but he came back. And because it wasn't filled, what did he do? He went and got seven more spirits, and they filled that room, and it said the last part of that man was worse than the beginning. Now, it's not that I'm wanting you to focus on. I'm wanting you to focus on the fact that when you pray against something that is affecting you in your life, you have to pray for something to fill that place. Because the enemy is going to come back and say, did he fill that place? And if you're asking God to fill that place with his spirit, his grace, his power, then there will be no room for the enemy, and the praying against will be effective. So I'm going to address sleepiness as a spirit, or sluggishness, or drowsiness, or recognize that this is the enemy that is trying to affect me in my mind. And so if I say, this is an example, in the name of Jesus, I pray against the spirit of sleepiness or drowsiness or you name it. It is a work of the devil, and I pray for what God can have power over, I'm praying against. I pray to be wakeful. I pray to be alert. I pray to be watchful. And we all need to pray to be watchful, because the word of the Lord says, watch and pray. And the enemy would like for us to be dull of mind, that I don't think about what he's trying to do to me. I believe that the Lord can give us these weapons and these instructions, and we can apply them, and it will defeat the devil. But remember, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Well, the Lord taught me something else. One other thing I want to leave with you. And I've given it down through the years from time to time. It's repetition. We're going to repeat it again. Yes. When you're in a battle, don't just lay down and take it. Rise up and fight against it with prayer. And this particular time, this is many years ago, I remember it as distinctly, and I'm in a battle. And I got up real early in the morning, couldn't sleep. Went to my sofa. And if you will listen carefully, the Lord will give you words to pray. And he did me. And the word of the Lord came to me and said, let the kingdom of God and the kingdom of righteousness prevail with an offensive attack against the kingdom of Satan. And then he said, this is what you need. And I've used those words ever since, because they came from God. That's one thing. Listen to the still small voice. The other one was very distinctive. I'm down praying again, can't sleep, all of that kind of thing again. And the Lord put these words in my mouth. And I've used them ever since, and it happened many years ago. I'm going to give these words to you. You've heard me say them before. In the name of Jesus, bruise Satan's head. That's a scripture. Use the word of the Lord in your prayers. It's powerful. Cast Satan down. Cast Satan out. Bind his powers. Cut off his influence. Undermine his plans and his purposes. And destroy the works of the devil for which Jesus was manifested. That's a scripture. That's what the Lord gave me. And I've used it ever since. And the enemy sometimes tries to whisper in my ear and say, if you wouldn't pray so hard against me, I might not give you so many battles. That's a lie.
Yeah.
That's a lie of the devil. You still use what God has given you as weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Pray for me.